pastors here at Mosaic, and we're doing something a little different tonight. And you've come, and this is a prayer and worship weekend, and so we're kind of breaking away from the norm where we sing, you listen to a message, and we dig into the truths of Scripture, which is the norm around here, but we want to move away from that, just a short message tonight, but then we're going to volley back to you guys, and we're going to do something a bit different where we actually pray, and so we'll walk through all of that here in just a sec, but just know that throughout any of the time tonight when we are praying, there's going to be people in the back that are available to pray with you, so you can feel free to disengage whatever's going on here, and if there's something really heavy and hard and just something you just need to go to people who can pray with you, feel free to do that at any time, okay? So doing something a little different, just a short message here. I want to let you know that I'm a runner. Now, what I mean by that is an actual runner, not I don't run away from problems and run away from situations, but I actually run. And so when I was younger, I was pretty focused on one lap or less, which would be a sprinter. So 400 meters or less, I could do that. But there's not many options for an older guy like myself to sprint, and so I kind of had to switch gears and move to longer distances. And in moving into those longer distances, I found that there's now more opportunity to do that, a lot more races of which I'll never break the tape and win, but still go about doing that. And so it's not uncommon to find me running up and down Phuket on the bike trail there, down in my neighborhood, up and down the 535 in Summerport, Independence, all of that. I'll be running around, albeit very slowly, but I'm doing it. Because I have to counteract this fascination that I have with the drink called Coca-Cola. And so I have to get rid of the excess calories some way, so I've chosen to go ahead and partake of running. Now, as a runner, I've learned a lot over the years of running, but one of the things that I found fascinating a few years ago is I came across this article that dropped some interesting info. It said this, that for every pound that you lose, you can run 2 to 3 seconds faster with the same perceived effort. So if you typically run a 10-minute mile and you lose 10 pounds, let's say, and so that same 10-minute mile, now with the same perceived effort, now you can run at about a 9 minute 40 second mile. And so you can, if you lose 30 pounds, you can really eventually clip off an entire minute on your mile time. Now, initially you hear that and you're like, well, big deal. What's a whole minute? You know, I don't even want to run a mile. So why would I want to save a minute in that? But when you're running that mile, here's how this plays out. It begins to stack up rather quickly. Let's say that I signed up for a marathon here at WDW, and I go out and I run off that 26.2 miles. But if I had lost 30 pounds, now with the same perceived effort, I'm able to finish that race a full 30 minutes or so faster than I would have had I not lost that excess weight. Now, who wants to run like 30 minutes less? Or you're like, I don't even want to run the marathon, but do it at 30 minutes less? Yeah, I take that. And so all of that plays out where it's like this amazing picture where you actually save so much time and energy, kind of casting off all that excess. And that principle plays itself in other parts of life. Like if you've ever loaded up a moving van, if that moving van is totally jammed full, then it's going to take more effort and energy to get to your finish line, right? To get to the place where you're moving. You have to put more gas in. It takes more energy. You're not going to get there as fast because it's bogged down. Same thing with our budgets. Right? If our budgets are full of a lot of fluff, but we're able to kind of cut the excess out and try to make some room, kind of the frivolous stuff, and create some room in our budget, then what happens at the end of the month, there's actually money instead of the other way around, where there's too much month, not enough money. And we've all been in that space where we're like, don't like that. And in that same principle plays itself out spiritually as well. And in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer says this, says in verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and in chapter 11, we're introduced to all of these people that have walked faithfully with Jesus. They have lived out the truths of the gospel, and God used them for amazing amazing things and amazing fruit for the kingdom was born because these people were faithful to follow after Jesus, to respond in faith, and God used them for great things. So we're surrounded by these people who have been faithful. And the writer then goes on to say this, so let us, now it's our turn, to also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You see, guys, when it comes to excess, right, when it comes to running with endurance, we need to remember where we have been in the series of 1 Peter that we ended last week. And in that final chapter, Peter writes that we are being pursued and hunted down by an enemy who is seeking to devour us, to pick us off, to take us down and destroy us. And so everything that he does and his army does is to just constantly come after us and bog us down so that our lives are not lived in a manner worthy of the gospel, so that we are so bogged down that it takes us infinitely longer to get to the finish line where we live in those lives in a manner worthy of the gospel. Or sometimes maybe some people are just like, I'm out, I don't want this anymore. This is too hard. He comes after us hard. And so tonight, what I want us to look at is to look at some spaces where the enemy has played in our generation and in generations past, and certainly will play in the future. And so we want to dig into these three areas where the enemy often works in our lives to cause us to not run the race well. And so we're going to briefly go over these things. And this is not an exhaustive list by any means, but it's definitely a rather large umbrella that covers a huge majority of the things that are going to bog us down. And so I want to work through these really quickly, and then you and I are going to engage in a time of prayer where we just kind of lift these things up to God, ask the Spirit of God to examine us, that we would confess those things, repent of those things, and then walk in life and freedom. And so we're gonna walk through these really quick, but these are three areas that I think the enemy is gonna come in, kind of bog us down, weigh us down, and these are some of the things that we can shed so that we can run the race with endurance. So the first area where the enemy often will find a playground in our life is the area of distractions. We are going to find ourselves in a lot of distractions. The scriptures tell us in John that the enemy is coming to destroy us. And if we back away from that, initially, it's not going to be this all-on, just crazy attack where it's like, whoa, I can clearly see the enemy in that. But if you trace back the trail, it often starts as a distraction. Something that just kind of captures our attention initially, and then it begins to snowball. So instead of finding our lives in places where there's silence and solitude and spaces where you and I can find ourselves just kind of dwelling on truth and spending some downtime in that space, we become masters of distraction by taking our boredom or our unintentionality that so often just fills our life, and we fill it with something other than things that would move us deeper into our relationship with Jesus. All right, so these are things that I've found in our life. Like, here's some of the distractions. How many of you have found yourself so distracted by your phone? You pull that bad boy out, like, every waking moment. It's like, oh, it's break time. You know, what did I miss in the last 2 hours? How many of you have found yourself pulling up to a stoplight? Oh, it just turned red. I have 30 seconds. Whoop. You know, I got to check my text, got to check my email. What's my social media feed? Like, what's going on? I have missed the last 2 minutes of life. Surely something has gone down. Right? And so we pull out our phone, and I believe that may be the distraction of our generation right now, is just living on the phone. How many people do you see at the restaurant you frequent? Just, yeah, it's a distraction. Or how about this one? You have just a little bit of time in Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime. Wouldn't watch that. Don't even care, but it's there. You know what I mean? I got to binge watch something I didn't even know existed like a day ago, but now it's incredible. This has changed the world. I got to get in on this. And so we find ourselves in that space. Or maybe you found yourself chasing the rabbit hole of YouTube. Have you ever been there? You're like, oh, what's this? And then it pulls up the string of things off there. They're like, I didn't know that's how they made marshmallows and Lucky Charms. You know, that's how they make a pencil. Didn't know. This is amazing. But we fill our time with this crazy nonsense and we get distracted. Social media feeds, you name it. There's so many things that begin to occupy our attention. And instead of spending time where we have some downtime, some rest, some solitude and silence, and maybe dwelling on the things that God has already taught us and what it looks like to move closer to Him, let that occupy our minds. So much of our time is spent in a distraction. And we want to explore that tonight. But there's another area, a second area, and that is the area of idols. Now, initially, you hear that, you're like, oh, that's not me, right? That's for like the deepest, darkest jungles of Indonesia where they carve out woods. That's kind of Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom, Golden Monkey thing. Not me. Like, that's not part of my life. I don't even live in that space. I don't have an idol. This evening, I want to let you know, every single one of us in this room and outside this room that walks planet Earth deals with the issue of idols. We deal with idolatry. It's just part of our life. I don't remember who said it, but they said that the heart is an idol-making factory. Good at it. There are so many things that capture our attention there. We all have idols, and it's one of these things that plays itself out like this. Our life feels like it has purpose and meaning if you fill in the blank. My life feels like it has purpose and meaning if I have the idol of control. Anybody struggle with that one? Here's the plan. Here's how it's supposed to look. I was going to go to this school, get this job, make this much money, get this house, drive this car, have this life. But if something gets messed up in there, then we're like, you know, okay, I got to fix that. I got to adjust that. And then something else changes and we're like, oh, I got to fix that. I got to struggle with that. Anxiety, fear, stress, worry pops up. And we're like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And it moves you deeper and deeper and deeper. More anxiety, more fear, more stress. Sounds fun, huh? But that's an idol. Then there's the idol of comfort. The idol of comfort would say, if I have this much money in my bank account, then I feel like I've arrived. Or if I have this in my 401k, or if I live in this space, if I drive this, if I have this, this makes my life more comfortable, more convenient, easier. Or maybe there's the idol of approval, where there's somebody, it may be a family member, it may be a boss, it may be a friend, where we live to have them approve us because we care more about what man thinks than what God thinks. We struggle with idolatry, guys. So we have distractions, we have idols, and then we have addictions. The third element is addiction. So where distractions are just kind of these things that buzz around over here, idol is something that you and I hold on to. Addictions are something that hold on to us. And it may have started out something like this. You had a medical procedure. They prescribed you some medicine to take away the pain. The pain left, but the medicine was still there. And we see this story playing itself out over and over in society where people are addicted to pain medication. Or maybe you found yourself one late night, just tired, a little bit frustrated on the internet, kind of scrolling through the internet, and then, something caught your eye. You delve deeper into that rabbit hole, and you were looking at things that you shouldn't have looked at. And you kept going, and you kept going, and all along you knew people in your D group were going to ask you, but you couldn't stop. And you just couldn't, you're just like, I don't know how to get out of this cul-de-sac. I just keep seeing the same thing over and over and over again. Over and over again. Or maybe it's the approval of others. Just addicted to hearing people say great things about you, calling out things, and you want to live for the approval of others. As it happens all the time, we get snagged by addiction. So there's distractions, there's idols, and there's addictions. And tonight we've been given a great privilege to have some margin. where we get to spend the next 15 to 20 minutes connecting with our Heavenly Father. Just spending one-on-one time with Him, asking Him to reveal in us what it is that He wants to do business with us on. And then to confess that, and then to repent of that. And I'll walk you through all of that here in just a minute. And just, you know, I'll bring up some stuff, pray, volley it back to you guys, and you'll connect with your Heavenly Father. But before we do that, we're also going to engage in one other thing, and that is the opportunity to begin to pray for us as a body called Mosaic, WDW. And you may be in here this evening and you're like struggling with some stuff. You're being persecuted because of your faith. You're trying to share your faith and you're being kind of excluded. So we want to gather around and pray for you. Or maybe it's just begun hard in your neighborhood, your workplace, your family, any number of places. Like, we want to pray for you. But we also then want to switch gears and also pray for this persecuted church. So we'll gather up in groups and I'll walk you through all of that. And then we'll switch gears and do the examination, confession, and repentance. We have an incredible privilege set before us to take a little bit of time and process with God. Let Him speak directly to us. And then to discover yet again the treasure that we have in Jesus. Sound good? Sound good? All right, let me pray for us. And then I'll kind of start us off in the spaces that we'll go and just kind of walk us through everything, kind of guide us. So let me start the prayer and then I'll walk us through the next steps. God, thank you so much for bringing us here tonight. We know that you are going to meet us here. Your word tells us that wherever two or three are gathered, that you're here. So we know that you're here. We do not have to ask you to come. You've already arrived. You were far ahead of us in the process, and you're going to do great things tonight. So thank you for involving us in your work. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to connect with you. Thank you for meeting us here. Now, would you make us very well aware of who you are, what you have done, what you are doing, what you want to do, and just thank you for making yourself aware to us. We're human. We can miss it. It's easy for us to walk past you and to miss the promptings of the Spirit, but we don't want that to be our story tonight. So, God, I pray that as we walk with you tonight, that you would do great and mighty things in this space. We yield to you. We thank you. We trust you, and we welcome you. Now, where you're sitting in your space here tonight, if you happen to be someone who is struggling, you feel like you're persecuted for your faith in Jesus, it may be at the workplace, it may be in your neighborhood, it may be in your social circles, it may be in your family, you may be not even suffering in those spaces, but you are trying to walk with God and to make the gospel known amongst people, and you're trying to share your faith with people, and you just feel like you keep getting stiff-armed, pushed away. If that is you, I'm gonna ask you to stand up tonight. To be bold and stand up, because we want to gather around you and we want to pray for you. So if that is you, go ahead and stand up. Would you? If you feel like you're going through something heavy and hard and it's just tough, would you go ahead and stand? So why don't we do this? Why don't we take a moment and just pray for the person to our right, our left, in front of us and behind us. You don't have to know their name. I pray that, let's pray that they would have boldness and faith to step into hard spots no matter what for the sake of the gospel in our generation. So would you just take a minute and pray for those people? Doesn't have to be lengthy, doesn't have to be out loud, just in the quietness of your seat. Would you pray for them? I'll start us off and then you can continue. God, we need you, we want you, we need your help. Would you call us into greater commitment, greater spaces where we can be a gospel voice and a gospel presence? It's not natural for us, it can be hard, we can be ridiculed, but I pray that you would give us the words to say and the spaces and arenas to be able to make your name known. Take a moment and just pray for the people surrounding you. God, thank you for these moments where we could pray for us, your body called the church. And as Jared just walked us through, that we can be that heard. We're not alone. We don't need to fear that this is something that we're in all by ourselves, but you are walking with us, inviting us into a relationship with you and in community with others so that we can run this race well. Thank you for your body called the church here, Mosaic at WDW. People we can link arms with and row in your direction, and you will do great and mighty things in and through us. I want to ask you to do this now. Would you just gather with people around you? We're going to pray for the persecuted church. You can get in groups of 5 to 10, doesn't matter. And here's what I'm going to ask in that little group. Circle up, and I'm just going to ask that one person would pray for the church. Because right now we've crossed this side of the dateline. We're on this side of the dateline, which means we're kind of late to the game. Most everybody in this world has already come and gone to gatherings. People have been beaten for their faith. Churches have been shut down today. Some people have been jailed. Some people may have been killed for their faith. As we talked about in 1 Peter, the church universal here on this planet. What we enjoy here, comfortable air conditioning, seats, some water, a safe space when we walk out of here, we don't have to fear for our lives. This is the exception, not the norm, in many places in the world. So we want to be faithful to pray for the church worldwide, our brothers and sisters in the faith. So would you just gather up with some people, 5 to 10 people, and then one person, just jump in and pray. Can we do that? I'll start us off here in just a sec. Just circle up real quick, and we'll start praying in just a moment. If one person could pray in just a sec. God, thank you so much that we have the privilege to pray for our family gathered all around the world. God, in these next few moments, voices are going to rise before you. This is not just some spiritual experience to make ourselves feel better. These are words that will rise before a great and mighty King. So would you pray now? Jesus, we pray for our brothers and sisters all over the globe. Embolden them. Help them to stand firm in their faith. Protect and provide like only you can, and move unmistakably on this planet, that your name would be known, Jesus, and that you would continue to send us all out on mission so that your name would be known in this generation. Thank you for involving us in your work, Jesus. You guys can head back to your seat, and we're going to do a little bit of one-on-one now with God. And I want to invite you guys into a space where you just enter into an attitude of prayer, where you'll push aside what's going on to your right or left, in front of or behind you, and you would now just journey alone with Jesus. And here's how I would like us to start this. If you would just simply, in the quietness of your seat, ask the Spirit of God to reveal to you what distraction is dominating you, what idol has captivated you, what addiction is plaguing you, or maybe it's none of that thing. Maybe it's a myriad of those things, or maybe it's something totally different. But would you just spend a moment asking the Spirit of God to reveal to you what is going on right here in the very core of your soul? Spend a moment with Jesus on that. Sitting in silence can often be so difficult, and yet that was only 3 minutes. But what a great privilege to connect with our Creator and to listen and to hear from Him. And continuing in an attitude of prayer, we have an incredible privilege now that is a result of the finished work of Jesus on the cross, and that is the opportunity to confess, to bring that sin that was just revealed into the light. And go directly to God and to name it specifically. Confess that before our great and mighty King Jesus. God, thank you for speaking to us. And now we bring this to you, recognizing there are things that we have done, we have set higher than you, and have become engulfed in, that are outside of your ways. Now we bring it to you and we confess. our movement in the space that you're in the quietness of your seat. You've now the Spirit of God has identified. You have now confessed specifically, and now you are invited in to repent. A spiritual word, a churchy word that simply means to turn away from that sin, to admit your deep soul in the deepest parts of your soul that you are sorry and that you want to set your affection and attention on Jesus and let him lead you into life and freedom. There is no shame in what there is, like he has forgiven. Now you turn away from it and walk in freedom and life with your great and mighty Savior Jesus. Would you now go to him, repent, say you are sorry, and then ask him to lead you to keep your focus on him. Just a moment, we get to respond in worship, and that's going to happen through communion. And Pastor Danny is going to lead us through that in just a moment. And as he does that, know that we get to respond in freedom and life and walk in remembrance, knowing that what Jesus has done has set us free. And so you'll get to come to the table and to celebrate the finished work of Christ. And it's an opportunity of worship. And before we go there, let me finish us up in praying. And then Pastor Danny will come up and just walk you through the meaning of the table and the amazing privilege that we have to remember. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much that we have had an opportunity to commune with you, to connect, that you have come and you have revealed to us some areas that need attention in our life. Maybe a distraction, it may be an idol, it may be an addiction. Maybe something else, maybe a combination of those things, but thank you that we could bring it to you, we could confess, bring it into the light, and we don't have to try to shoulder this ourselves, but now we have an opportunity to give it to you and to ask you to rescue us once again from that which has engulfed our lives, the sin that has so easily entangled. But as 1 John says, that you are faithful and just to forgive us from all unrighteousness. And so we come to you saying that we need you and we want you. And we thank you for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do to continue to rescue, redeem, and restore our lives. And we thank you that it's not up to us to just try to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, but to come to you yet again, to remind ourselves of the gospel, what it says in Hebrews. And we're reminded of the gospel in chapter 12, verse 2, that after we have thrown off that which clings to us, the weight that we have, that verse 2 says in chapter 12, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You are the God who rescues, redeems, restores, leads us to walk in life, in freedom, not in shame and condemnation, but in life. So we come to you yet again and we thank you. And then thank you that we get to now reacquaint ourselves with communion. And the importance of what that is, and the meaning of that, and the celebration of your great work. Thank you for this time, Jesus.